Hey guys, it's Johnny. I have some really sad news to pass along to you guys today. Slim Ritchie, legendary jazz guitarist, passed away yesterday, May 31st, 2015. He lost his battle with lymphoma. He was 77. He was an amazing guitar player, known as the most dangerous guitar player in the world. His style, although he was a jazz guy, it went between jazz and kind of like this roots and country kind of stuff that he was extremely well versed in, but he kind of had this style that was based in like this Django and beyond. You know what I mean? Whenever I saw him play, I was always moved by how far he was taking time and music, if that makes sense to you, in a way that was so creative and outside the box and just so forward thinking. You didn't think this guy was a 77-year-old guy or 75, you know, or 74. I've been seeing him play for years around town. Anyway, my heart goes out to his family and his wife, Francie, who is on this show today with him, and his all of the community, you know, the tribe. We lost a member of the tribe. And my heart goes out to everyone that was friends with him, that worked with him, to Masumi, And Sarah Sharp, who are on this interview as well, and we're in the Jitterbug Vipers with him. This conversation we had a couple years ago in like April of 2013, right before their album Phoebe's Dream came out. They were doing a record release at the One World Theater here in Austin on May the 4th, and they were very excited about May the 4th be with you. They were just very excited. It's nice to hear this conversation. I listened to it today when I went running, and Slim is hilarious. The whole conversation is hilarious and literally like totally askew in the best way possible. Zany. In fact, there's a point in it where I say to Slim, I'm gonna ask you guys a question that's in really bad taste. And Slim's response is a very enthusiastic, "Oh, good." And that made me laugh. I laughed out loud listening to this. So hopefully you will get that and you will laugh out loud. But sadly, along with the loss of somebody like this and somebody that was sick and hospitalized at times, the bills are mounting up for Francie and for his family. And I want to let you guys know that there's a GoFundMe page, which I will put a link to on the How Did I Get Here Facebook page and also on the Podbean on the text for this episode, okay? So you guys go there, give what you can. You know, no matter what it is, give what you can. I know that this is an overwhelming time emotionally for Francie, for the family, for all of their close friends, but also an overwhelming time financially, which is a difficult thing to deal with when you're dealing also with the loss of your husband. So again, my heart, my condolences go out to his family, to Francie, to his bandmates, to Masumi and Sarah, who were on this episode with me, with him. We had a great conversation. I had a great time getting to know him. And when I saw him in the couple of years after that, over the last couple of years after we did this podcast, I'd see him. He always got a big smile on his face. And he always reminded me that he had a great time when he came on here. And we always had a good laugh when we'd see each other. So I have great memories of Slim. I have great memories of seeing him play. He was an incredibly inspiring musician. If you don't know his music, get out there and find it. Pick up the Jitterbug Vipers. A beautiful band. Amazing. And I know that there's a SoundCloud song of Sarah Sharp and him doing Crazy, the Willie Nelson song. Just beautiful. I listened to it this morning as well. So listen, go to the How Did I Get Here Facebook page or go on the Podbean page and find the GoFundMe page and see what you can give to help out Francie and the family. And all of his friends. We lost a member of our community, a beautiful member of our community, of our tribe. And I'm glad that his music is out there to live on. I'm glad that we have this conversation. I hope that this brings you some happiness if you knew Slim, and even if you didn't know Slim, getting to know him on this podcast is great. You get to see him at a happy place where he was with his band and he was about to release an album, and he was surrounded by his Heidi hoes. And listen, I'm going to play the intro to it first so we can have a palate cleansing and I can set up the interview, because it really is the craziest podcast I ever had. So my love to Francie, to all the friends, to his family, to Sarah and Masumi, and your music will live on forever, and thank you for your contribution. Slim, you'll be missed.
How did I get here? Lying in the sunshine.
Speaking of making me laugh, my guest today is a band called the Jitterbug Vipers. It's made up of four people: Slim, Francie, Masumi, and Sarah. I've had Sarah on the show before. Sarah Sharp, I think she was on at some point last year. I can't remember. I thought it was a long time ago, but I guess it wasn't as long ago. Anyway, they all came over yesterday, and I got to paint you a little picture of what was going on. We booked this interview a few weeks ago, and I remember it was difficult to pin down a time, and I remember it was kind of early, but I pretty much get up early anyway on normal days. So it was about 9:30 was what time we were going to get together. And I knew I was going to this comedy festival, so I thought maybe I'd cut out a little early Wednesday night. I did not. I stayed to the bitter end. And I came home and woke up yesterday pretty hungover and got my shit together to do this interview. And like just from the second they showed up, it was just completely zany is the best way to say it. All I did was laugh. I laugh a lot in this interview. This lady Francie is hysterical. Masumi is really funny, and they're just kind of like off in their own world almost. I can imagine what they're like, you know, to be in a band with. It must be hysterical. And then you got Slim Richie, this, you know, masterful guitar guy, you know, been around for a long, long time. And then it's sort of like the Sarah Sharp is just kind of like, seems like she's so stoic. Like during the interview, her kids were here and they were kind of like running around. The door was open. You hear a couple of times they come in and say stuff, but she's watching the kids. She's keeping people in line. She's throwing out the facts because the rest of the guys are just, they're just talk, kooky talk. So, but it's great. And I don't mean that disparagingly at all. I was thoroughly entertained. I really enjoyed myself talking to them. I'm not going to keep you away from this conversation any longer. I have to say, though, that they are playing a show at the One World Theater, which is a great theater, and luckily I have the night off, so I'm going to go, and I suggest that you go, too. If you're in Austin, Texas, go to the One World Theater on Saturday, May 4th, and they even have a slogan. I'm going to let them say it. Well, I kind of want to say it, but I'm going to let them say it. Let's get down with the Jitterbug Vipers.
Moco is not cussing anymore. The governor says no. Every day.
Okay.
I have the Jitterbug Vipers in my apartment.
Aren't you lucky?
I am very lucky.
And yeah, I've already moved in.
You brought chaos?
Yes, Masumi might move in.
This is Sarah's second time on the show. For those of you listening, you might remember her from, was it last year or something? Maybe last summer?
No, not that long.
I think it was maybe the last fall.
Last fall?
Mm-hmm. Oh.
I don't know how long I've been doing this. How are you all doing?
We're great.
Yeah?
I'm just keeping an eye on my kids outside the window.
Yeah, I think
sure
that's awesome.
Run away.
This is definitely a unique experience. You know what? I think your kids
Look,
are going to get a job.
Look, there's somebody over there.
Yeah, they're making friends with you.
Watching them.
Those are the guys working on the apartment. Your kids are going to be able to like lay carpet by the end of this interview.
Yeah.
You guys have a huge show coming up at the One World Theater on May 4th.
May the 4th be with you.
So, is it your own show? Is that what's going on?
Yeah.
We're not opening for anybody. It's our night.
Do you have an opener?
Nope.
No.
Wow.
It's our next show.
So that's it?
Mm-hmm. We have a wedding.
But we're our opening.
Do you know about this?
What?
Slim and Francie have been married 14 times to each
14
other.
14 times?
14!
They've been divorced. They're going to have their 15th wedding at the show.
Yeah,
no
that's
way.
The opener.
Yeah, that's the
opener.
Absolutely.
That's the opener.
Yes.
That's unbelievable.
And then we're going to jump back. You know, my other hoes are going to be my bride's hoes. And after we say the I do thing, we're going to jump back and play When You're High. Yeah. Or something like that.
That's insane.
Or trouble.
That's what you guys...
Oh, no, that is insane.
Play dangerous.
Dangerous. Yes.
The man who married his love 14 times.
Right.
So wait, how long have you been married?
22.
Yeah. I'm sorry, 22. Where are y'all getting in an argument?
Okay. I don't want you guys to argue on my show. Mom, Dad, stop fighting.
Well, it wouldn't be a fight. It'd just be, no, wait a minute.
No, wait a minute.
Kind of there you go. So, Slim, how are you doing?
I'm doing just hunky-dory, tip-top.
Good.
At the top of my game.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Good. You're an amazing player. I know I've told you that after shows, even though you don't remember.
Yeah, I do remember. You're the one that said that.
I was the one that said that. I'm the only person probably that said that in your whole life.
I wrote it down. I said I was an amazing player. I put that on my Facebook.
Twit that.
Amazing.
Yeah, you are an amazing player.
Well, I'm dangerous.
You are dangerous.
I play explicit notes, and that's really telling the truth. It's kind of dangerous always.
So you guys have a focus, like what you do in your music is you play songs that are about
drugs.
Prohibition things.
Yeah.
Oh, drugs.
Drugs. But well, mostly marijuana.
Okay.
But we do things about, you know, I don't think we do anything about heroin per se, but opium, you know, all those romantic drugs.
We got one about a monkey on the back, but it's by Nat King Cole. He said, no, it's not about drugs. He said, that's not about drugs.
Okay, no.
It's about like, literally having a monkey on your back.
Right.
But
monkey songs.
Peter, Paul, and Mary said that Puff the Magic Dragon wasn't about drugs, but that's a real old expression.
It was?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah?
Let's go Puff the Magic Dragon.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, it was before they were born, so, you know.
Oh, that's when that song's from?
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. But they couldn't admit it. They had to say no. It's about kids.
Yeah. It is about kids. To me, it
was. Absolutely.
Yeah.
So where do you find, do you just know this stuff? Because you seem to have a pretty good knowledge of jazz.
Yeah, there's a whole body of Viper music.
That's what it's called.
Our name, the Jitterbug Vipers.
Right.
Jitterbug means we like to play for dances.
Right.
And Lindy Hop, special swing dances. The Vipers has to do with the period of music where these people call themselves Vipers in the 20s and 30s, the people that didn't drink, they smoked weed, muggles, stuff. They
had
a
Gage.
Lot of different names. Gage.
Because of the sound a Viper makes.
Viper makes it.
Oh, yeah!
I didn't know that either. Look at you guys.
It's in my Viper dictionary, darling.
Wow.
I got a Viper dictionary on my Facebook if you want to look at it.
I will.
All those words.
On our Jitterbug Vipers webpage.
It's on that too?
Mm-hmm. Yay.
Slim's Viper dictionary. But back then, the drugs were all legal. The only thing that was not legal was alcohol.
Right.
So it's like their party songs
right.
at the time. And then this new album, we wrote almost all the songs in the same spirit.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm. But they're, you know, they're originals, but they're Viper inspired.
Wow. Mm-hmm. You're going to give me some, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, good. Sorry, I've had interviews every day with kids, with regular people, and now you guys. This is amazing for me.
Regular people.
Regular people are in between kids.
And we're
and
definitely
Slim.
Not.
I feel like a regular person getting up this early.
You
usually sleep
till about
10:45
and then you
just go to sleep. So.
Right. Yeah. You have a real thing going on.
I get up at 6:15.
She's our most regular person.
I am very regular.
What about you, Samir? You haven't said anything.
Masumi
is not regular.
I'm a legal alien here.
You are legal?
Legal.
Legal.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Oh, so I don't have to marry you for other purposes, just for home.
Just so
you'll have a good home.
Apartment.
Say yes, baby.
Say yes.
Yes, baby.
Yes, baby.
See? Thanks, Slim.
Now, I'm the only resident alien. You know, she's an alien resident, but I'm a resident
legally alien
in
the planet, in the earth.
another. I'm from another planet. Even Masumi agrees.
Yeah, I witnessed it.
Yeah, yeah. We saw it firsthand out in the desert. You know.
Yeah. Yeah. Did you guys really go out? Are you pulling my leg?
No, okay. We own property in the desert.
Oh, really?
Terlingua.
And we in Terlingua, and we go play out there, just so we can hang out. You know, at the Rancho, and one night we saw a red light way off, and we weren't looking at the MARF lights. This was towards the park in Mexico, and Masumi said what?
She said, oh, look, it's your parents coming.
It's your parents coming.
Because Mojo really was given up for adoption at birth.
And every year they come back and check on me when I go out to our property, you know.
You were given up for adoption?
Yeah. Yeah.
By is that,
sad
life. Is that...
And look where I got. I'm a hoe.
You know? She had a rainbow hair.
You do have rainbow hair.
It goes with my planet.
Yes.
She speculated on her parents.
Yeah. This is not weird for my home planet.
No, this is Allegra hair.
Her parents are either
I want to be in your band. I don't think I've laughed this hard in a band in a long time.
In the middle of a song, we'll just almost pee in our pants, but we won't stop. And it's
when
like
something goes really well, Mojo turns to Masumi and at the end of the song, he'll say, do you want to go make out in the bathroom?
I just came, I think. I mean, it is too much fun.
She always say, like, our job is best.
Yes, the best job. Yeah. She coined the phrase, as to the people, in fact. It wasn't me. It was her.
What does that mean? What is as to the, what's the meaning?
Mojo's always got her back to the audience, and a lot of people don't understand, but there's different theories on why she plays with her back to the audience. And so one night Masumi said, Mojo is always so as to the people. I said, that should be our mission statement.
That's it.
Ask to the people.
Ask to the people.
Because I don't have any vocabulary.
Right. It's perfect vocabulary.
I taught you two words.
Yes, baby.
Where are you from, Masumi?
Tokyo, Japan.
Yeah? When did you... Why is that funny? You guys are making fun of me.
No.
No, joking.
All seriousness aside, she's from Tokyo, Japan.
Yeah.
Yes.
How did you... Why did you move to Austin? How did you end up in Austin?
I'm not really sure, but finally got here.
Were you playing drums in Tokyo?
Yes.
Yeah?
Actually,
big
really
band drums.
A lot.
Big band drums.
Big band.
Big band? Okay.
All female.
That's how she
really?
Got.
And she
That's
had
cool.
the cutest braids.
That's how she got in the band.
Yeah?
So I met her at a party that didn't allow drums and started talking to her. And she said, well, she played drums. I said, she played drums in Tokyo. She said, oh, big band. So I got real interested and said, she said, I went to Berkeley. I thought I got more interested. And she said, I said, who do you play with? She said, Mark Divine. Well, Mark Divine came here. He was who's the trumpet player he used to play with? Well, never mind. Anyway, he's a great player.
I like that she just nods yes.
Okay, the end
yes,
of this.
Yes, baby.
I asked her if she played more than once.
Yeah.
Because I hired a guy one time that told me he played with Eric Kokanen, and I hired him, but I found out he just played with him once.
Yeah.
She said, oh, she played with Mark Divine all the time. So I said, what are you doing Tuesday? And she said, nothing. I said, well, you're playing with us.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah.
When was that? How long ago was that?
Three or four years.
Yeah.
Ago.
Let's argue about it.
And we talked after the first song. It was like, I turned to her and I said, I want to have your babies. And she stood up. She says, yes, I want to have yours. I mean, it was like just awesome.
You guys should have a show.
No, it's just a sauce talking.
I know.
You need a show, like a television show. Just follows you. You don't even have to edit it. Just maybe a couple hours a day.
We have some footage from making this album, and it's so hilarious.
And we have the TV show.
I'm trying to like wrangle cats to make this album and produce it, and Mojo comes in, and the only thing she says on this whole video is, do you want me higher or lower for this next song?
So what album is this for you guys?
Oh, well, this is our second studio album.
Okay.
And it's the first one that's 9 out of the 11 songs are originals. But I co-wrote with
you.
Slim wrote one of them, and then I co-wrote 8 of them.
Wow.
With Elizabeth McQueen, Katie Holmes, a couple of the guys from Ghost Along the Brazos, and my husband. And it's really adorable.
Elizabeth McQueen
and I wrote a song called Stuff It.
Stuff It.
And Katie Holmes, who was the previous Jitterbug Viper singer,
okay,
wrote with me a song about Slim called Dangerous.
All right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's Angus's favorite song.
Yeah, baby's favorite was Dangerous.
Yes.
Do they, what do you listen to? Like, what happens
rock.
When...
Yeah?
Yeah. Like what kind of rock?
Hard old rock. You know, Woodstock rock.
Okay.
That's
you
not
know,
really
all my rock
her.
Is dying.
Right. I don't listen to that.
You don't listen to that.
Well, you know, Richie Havens just died.
I don't care for it.
And, you know, all my rock is dying.
Because it's old.
Yeah.
Is that, you feel that? You feel that's happening?
Well, but, I mean, personally, yeah.
The stuff
I mean,
that you know, but you need to know some stuff, some new stuff.
Stuff it, bitch.
Stuff it.
Yeah. Well, you know, I'm the only Viper here, and I listen to KGSR.
Okay.
Plug. And they play a lot of that. You know, it's stuff I can
But you guys,
sing to.
Would you like the new KUTX?
Oh, yeah.
That's a good station.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, that's a good one.
I don't know that one, but...
No?
No.
It's 98.9. You'll be happy, though,
okay.
about it. I won't tell them, okay, although they all listen to this show.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I listen to it all day.
See?
Mm-hmm. And she likes Marketplace.
Yeah.
Marketplace is actually my favorite.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I remember that detail. I don't know.
Masumi, what do you listen to?
I listen... I don't know. I play a lot. I don't listen much.
No.
Okay.
Yeah, I listen to Alex Jones.
That's what you do.
He is so musical. You know, he'll tell you not only what's going on, but what probably is going on.
Yeah.
That you're not going to hear about somewhere else.
A friend of mine had to go, a cop friend of mine had to go and get him for questioning a couple years ago.
How cool is that?
On something. Said it was totally uncool.
Oh, really?
Yeah. He said it was a real pain in the ass.
Man,
I don't want to debunk him, but when the cops show up and shake him down because he has to come in and answer some... It was somebody... Something happened. I can't remember exactly what it was.
Oh, boy.
And I think that my friend was working for the FBI at the time. Wow. As like a robbery guy.
Oh, man.
Special guy.
What a trip.
Yeah. But he said, yeah. He also once arrested Joe Walsh.
Nice!
At Chinatown. Over on Mopac in the late 80s.
Wow. Chinatown.
Yeah, because he was throwing... He was throwing silverware.
I love Joe Walsh.
I love Joe Walsh, too.
Joe Walsh, that song just describes my life.
Which one? Life's Been Good?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Life's Been Good so far.
Sarah, what do you listen to?
Well,
Joe Walsh.
KUTX.
As far as jazz, I went through a real heavy jazz period like in my early 20s, and I don't spend a lot of time listening to jazz now except for when we learn something new. And a lot of just more like songwriter stuff, indie pop, and you know, I'm music supervised, so a lot of times I'm just skimming through, trying to stay current on.
By the way, thank you for the email. That was nice.
Yes.
Slim, what do you listen to?
Well,
do you have an iPod?
No.
Sorry.
Oh, well, yeah,
you do.
I do. I don't listen to that.
Right.
I bring it to gigs sometimes, but I. Right now, I got a couple of students, and they tell me what they want to learn. So I listen to that and kind of listen to Wes Montgomery, Barney Kessler, whatever And I listen to this new material we're going to do, and I listen to a lot of the Viper stuff.
Yeah.
They don't know how much I listen to. But once in a while, I'll get us to learn a new Viper tune. There's a lot of them we hadn't done that are really great.
Yeah. Where are you from? Are you from here?
I'm from Atlanta, Texas, is where I was born.
Where's that?
Close to where Don Henley was. It's east. Far
east.
Atlanta, Texas? What's going on here?
I'm so intimidated by you. I really am.
It's 3 miles south of Queen City.
Okay.
In Hayden.
Once again.
Cass County. Okay, you've heard of Lyndon.
I'm going to Google all of this stuff.
Okay, Lyndon. Don Henley.
Yeah.
Lyndon, 13 miles away.
Okay.
That's where T-Bone Walker was born.
Oh, yeah.
Really?
Lyndon, Texas.
Yeah.
Oh. Absolutely.
There's some killer people from East Texas.
It's 17 miles from Texarkana.
Okay.
Where I heard B.B. King when I was in high school.
Yeah?
Yeah.
How did you do that? Where'd you?
My sister had a friend that wanted to go up there, and we were the only two white kids in there. I wasn't old enough to drive at the time, but he was. And he was a nice guy to me. My sister's friends didn't like him because he always chose the radio station that they didn't like.
Yeah.
But I would have liked what he chose because I used to listen to rhythm and blues. When I finally discovered the radio, it was mainly rhythm and blues I was listening to.
So were you already playing guitar when you saw B.B. King, or did you pick it up afterwards?
I think I already owned one. I don't know if you'd go as far as to say no.
You played it? Yeah.
I wasn't much into the B.B. King style. I hadn't discovered the slinky strings and all at that period.
Right. Who were your guys when you started playing? Who were the guys that you looked up to?
Well, on radio, you really don't get much. I used to listen a little bit before I even started playing. I listened to WWL in New Orleans. I listened to the old jazz programs, but they didn't have a lot of guitar stuff. So the guitar stuff would be Les Paul,
right,
who was very popular. He had some number one hits, number two and three at the same time when I was in high school, and Chet Atkins.
Yeah.
And then on the radio, there was a guy named Jimmy Bryant that played a lot of real fast, kind of jazzy country guitar. They used him for bumper music on the news on the radio.
Yeah.
They'd either use Earl Scruggs' Foggy Mountain Breakdown or something like Arkansas Traveler by Jimmy Bryant and Speedy West.
Yeah.
So I listened to a lot of that stuff. My sister bought me a record by Benny Goodman of the Carnegie Hall's two LP set. I listened to that a lot.
Yeah.
Then finally, she kind of got me a Barney Kessel record because she had seen him at Jazz at the Philharmonic in Dallas. And when I was a junior in high school, I went to the Jazz at the Philharmonic. Some friends of mine and I talked the band director into getting a grant to take us out there. And I met Herb Ellis and Dizzy Gillespie my first year. But I was a pretty brave kid in a lot of ways because I tried to get my friends to go backstage with me, and they said, oh, you can't do that. There's a guard there. So I passed the guard and walked up to Dizzy Gillespie, and I said, why does your horn go up like that? He put his hand on my shoulder and started talking to me. Well, the guard came back there and looked at us and just kind of shrugged his shoulders and walked off because he thought I knew Dizzy.
Oh, that's awesome.
And then I went and talked to Herb Ellis, and we were friends all the time.
When you walked back and talked to him, dangerous. Did you know who he was, or did you?
Yeah, I knew who he was.
He was Dizzy. He wasn't just the trumpet player in the band you saw.
He looked like Dizzy Gillespie, and he had his horn and went up. And
yeah.
He said it helped him play high notes.
Yeah.
Which some people say that's not true, but I believe him.
Have you been in big bands? Like the big thing where you sit in the chair with the...
I have been in big bands. Yeah? Also,
do you like that?
Maury Spears. I don't know if you've heard of Louis Spears. That used to play... He played bass with Ray Charles, but his brother, Maurice, was a trombone player, and he had a 16-piece band in Oklahoma.
Yeah.
That wasn't the first one I played with, but that was the best one I played with. We'd go up to Kansas and different places, and we played black debutante balls, and I was like the only white person there. They made me eat in the kitchen. They wouldn't let me go out. And white, no white people allowed. They were racist. Yeah. That's okay.
You're okay with that?
Oh, okay. I've been on the other side of it, so I had no trouble.
Yeah. So what brought you to Austin? How long have you lived here? Since the dawn of...
Sheena lived in Fort Worth. I lived in Fort Worth for 25 years. We just wanted to get out of town, and we put the house up for sale and bought a travel trailer and got out of the house and, you know, put vanilla on the light bulbs and all that kind of stuff, clean up the yard. And it wouldn't have sold the way we lived in it, but we lived in a travel trailer for a year, and I played the fair in Albuquerque, New Mexico for three weeks, and we were thinking about moving out there, but we wound up moving to Rolling Oaks in Hays County because I had connections there.
Yeah, we knew a lot of people in this one little hole in the county, little neighborhood.
And Will told me he found a really cool custom-made house, and this house should have cool people to live in. So he called Slim, and I think I heard it.
Yeah.
Yeah, right?
It looks like a hobbit house on acid.
Yeah, really hobbit.
Yeah.
The name of their home is the Eternal Camp Peckerwood.
Home for Wayward Boys.
Oh, Home for Wayward
Boys. Yeah.
It's all true.
It is true.
Yeah,
it is.
Do you guys need someone just to hang out and laugh?
Yes.
Yeah.
You need one more person?
Yeah.
I'm pretty easygoing.
We're thinking about trying to get a gig at the comedy. That comedy place, you know, and broaden our, you know, fan base.
You totally could.
I think somebody just needs to follow us on the road with a camera.
Yes.
Yeah.
Jason. We need that. Maybe Jason. Martin Scorsese. You know, he did that with the Stones, right?
Yeah.
Okay. He can do it with the Vipers.
We have this whole world domination.
Point. World domination.
That's our goal.
And next week it's going to be one world theater domination.
Yeah.
Yeah.
May the fourth be with you. That's a great place.
I know,
we're so lucky that we get to do that
it's
show.
It's going
to
be pretty interesting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Say that again. May the fourth be with you.
That's the fourth.
That's good.
Yeah.
Saturday, May the 4th. I'm going to do something that's in pretty bad taste right now.
Mm-hmm. Oh, good.
Yes, you can be on our guest list.
What are you, a mind reader?
Yes, I am.
Yes, come and bring 10 friends.
Yeah.
If you have 10.
You know
10.
What's weird? I noticed.
Do you have 10
is that
friends?
I'm in this weird quandary, but I'm not going to lay it on you guys because this show is about you and your music.
Okay.
Okay? But I.
It is.
You'd think I'd have more friends than I do.
You got
but
four
I
friends
can't
right
find,
here.
Yeah. So we're all going to just
I'm
roll gonna together.
I'm going to look on your face and
a
see
new roommate.
How many friends you have.
I cannot have any more friends.
Oh,
that's why I'm at.
Awesome.
I don't know if that's awesome because when I want to go do something, I have to go alone because I don't know who to call. I feel weird.
Somebody.
Is that weird?
It's awesome because... It's
you can
awesome
call me
because
I live across the water from you.
I know.
5,000 friends. Mm-hmm.
Oh, really?
Okay, I will.
Yeah.
Wow.
Do you... Let's talk about this record more.
Okay.
Okay, so where did you do this?
Okay, so... Andy too. We found out we were going to play the One World, and I said, you guys, we got to make this a big deal. We have to make an album, and we have to make it all originals. And they
She's
fought
bossy
me
that way.
They fought me every step of the way. Learning the songs, the whole thing. Her whole ask to the people at
we're
one point,
so
I was like, we're going to call you Francie, yeah, but to the people.
She said always, yeah, but.
So I have
we rejected
them through this vision of come on guys, like we because Slim and I wrote a song that was on our album last year that was the best
right
and I write
yeah you write
all
the time
my pop stuff so we just knocked it out. And I mean,
when you say knocked it out, with like a couple weeks?
Like, every time somebody would come over to write with me, I would get my kids to bed and say, can you come at like 7:30 as soon as I get my kids to bed? And the song that took the longest took 4 hours, start to finish. Wow. Every song was written in one sitting in my living room. And one of them took an hour and a half.
Wow.
And it was just fun. It was just like, because it's not, I mean, it's Viper, like, let's just write something for the Viper album.
It's great.
You know.
It's great.
And so we went and recorded with Andy Sharp, not my husband.
So okay. We call Andy Sharp too.
Yeah. Electric Boogaloo.
The other Andy Sharp.
Yeah.
And that's where did that TV, internet TV
That's where we have some footage.
Okay. Yeah, where her,
because Masumi has a TV show.
You do?
Internet.
She has it's called Lunch with Masumi. And it's every Wednesday she streams on Ustream, like a live jazz show.
Yeah, but now it's Monday.
Okay.
It's Monday. You switched.
And now, and for the last like 7 months, one Monday a month, we do Vipers at noon in my living room.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah. Awesome location.
And you can check all the previous ones.
It's all archived.
It's all archived.
There was one in February when Slim turned 75. And
that day.
The doorbell rang during a song, and I went and opened the door, and all of our friends came in playing instruments.
Yeah,
and
this, conga line.
We came out with this conga huge line. Cake that was literally like blazing with 75 candles.
Yeah,
that
was such a good cake.
I cooked 75.
That was such a good cake.
It turned into this happy birthday conga line with like all these instruments, and Slim cried.
Like I'm about to cry. I love you guys.
This is so precious.
I want to...
I'm
in a band with really, don't get me wrong, Skyrocket guys are all super nice and girl.
I want to meet them.
But I've known them too long. You guys are new.
Is that the band that has Soupy Sales Son in it?
Nope.
Okay, which
but
one
I
is
have
that?
I have talked many times to Hunt about starting a band together.
I saw
a superhero Soupy. Band. You saw Soupy?
I saw Soupy.
I was a huge Soupy fan.
I was a child.
Yeah,
and I went to the studio and got to see Soupy live
on the TV show.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's awesome!
Yeah,
I was a huge fan. Have you ever met Hunt?
No,
he's so funny.
I played with him.
You did?
Have you?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, he played with the Jazz Pharaohs a couple of times.
He did.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Cool.
And I tried to hire him. I didn't realize how popular he was. Tried to hire him a couple of times.
Yeah.
But he would. He's now I'm playing New York. That day. Oh, okay.
He's you know, like, you know, like you guys,
drummer.
He's the real deal. Like he's,
yeah,
he's a music guy.
Yeah.
Like, and funny.
Very funny.
I worked on a record. I engineered, like the overdubs of a record that he produced.
Oh,
yeah.
So
he was not in the best shape at the time, but, but now he's in amazing, you know, he's super healthy and has been,
oops. That was just my 2-year-old bashing his head against the window. Pay no attention. Hang on. He's a headbanger.
Headbanger. He's a viper in training.
Yeah.
Yes. So you guys, I'm assuming you said you listen to jazz a lot?
Yeah.
You do? You guys don't? Is there anything going on that you guys like go see, have to go see anytime?
Gosh, I go hear people all the time.
You do?
Yeah, I'm trying to think of what I'm the most excited about right now.
I don't know. If I have a time, I just clean up my house.
You clean up your house?
No time for the
look.
Fun.
Look,
the
that's
rainbow.
Me. Yeah, my
is that Jeffrey Skunk Baxter?
That is Jeffrey Skunk Baxter.
Oh, nice.
I hung out with him.
Me too.
Nice.
Yes.
Nice.
He tried to get Andy back into the country when his green card was stolen in Mexico. We were
what?
Really?
Really? Yeah. That's who did that?
Yeah. Well, he was one of the ones, but he wasn't able to get it done, even though he works for the Department
of Defense. Defense. Yeah.
Oh, he does?
He's a special,
he's a special dude.
Anti.
Oh,
he's an anti.
I got to play with him.
Me too. Did you have fun?
I had a blast. It couldn't have been nicer. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, I was in, remember that band Endosheen?
Mm-hmm.
He loved that band. And
really?
Somehow he got hooked up with Trevor, who managed them. And then I joined the band. And none of those guys like even knew who he was. They would go like, "Oh, he was in some weed band in the 70s. I think that's why they call him Skunk, but now he's a cop." Like they didn't even know what he did now.
He's a cop.
But you know what? But you know what? I like just from the get go when he walked up on stage to set his stuff down. They said, "Johnny, this is Skunk," and I was like, "Which doobie you be?" Which was the line on What's Happening in the 70s when he answered the phone on the show What's Happening. Reron said, "Which doobie you be?" And so, immediately, he knew. And he let me ask everything. Like, I spent the whole day. We did a radio interview. Yeah.
Man.
I wouldn't stop asking him questions.
That's so awesome.
Did you do that to him? Man.
No, I was trying to be cool.
It caught me by surprise. No one told me he was coming. And I just freaked out on him immediately.
Wait, you did an interview with him? Like a recording?
No. We went on a radio show together.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it was during ACL that he played with us.
Nice.
So, it was a good time.
Nice.
I used to wear eyeliner.
Yeah.
You what?
You used to
Slim,
wear eyeliner.
Slim, you make fun of guys that wear eyeliner and go play shows?
Huh?
Would you?
Slim does not judge anybody.
I don't. Yeah,
one of my favorite lines that we tweet, like, all the great things we say. So our Jitterbug Vipers Twitter is really, like, X-rated. One of the first tweets I had to do was Slim was like, "Well, lesbians don't do anything I don't."
Was that one? We couldn't find the hole.
Can I use that for a song? I would love to use that in a song.
You gotta go back and look at some of our tweets, man.
We couldn't find the hole one night. We made a really, really big deal out of it.
About not being able to find the hole.
No. It's a PA system hole.
And then we found it. Oh, we found the hole. But is it the right hole?
That's the question.
Exactly.
He's talking about
you know what?
Electrical connection.
Right, of course. You've got to find the hole.
Finally.
We were on the, that you were making an album with Andy Sharp, not your husband.
We recorded it at Andy Sharp.
Oh, shit.
And we did it. We had them all just in one room. And me just passed the glass. So it's, they're all playing live, but I went back and you know, and did like 3 or 4 takes, and so we kind of tried to do it a little more. It was very lo-fi and just live room sound with them, and then I
you did your thing.
Did a little more work on the vocals. What are you laughing so much about?
I don't know.
See?
You are high. You don't know.
You're high.
But anyway, it turned out, I mean, I think it's a new thing for us because we get to play these festivals. You know, we play Utopia Fest and Kerrville and and Rice Fest and all these things, and now that we actually are more of a band who also play our own material, I think that's like a good step for us.
Sure, that's always
the best. World domination, bitch.
One step closer.
World domination.
They like us better at Kerrville because that's a songwriters festival. Like, they kind of pushed the line a little bit to have us on
before. Yeah,
we did originally the first time we played down there. We did a few, but not.
Do you like doing those Kerrville? I've never been there.
Yeah,
I love Kerrville.
We always play on the last day on the Sunday brunch. It's like champagne under the shade of the big Threadgill theater, and
we get two sets. I mean, nobody gets two sets.
Yeah, they give us a whole 2 hours,
and we get two sets. And we usually try, just in the last couple of years, we've decided we're going to make it like performance art. And and the year before last, I had a table of 42 players, domino players, and I had an artist.
Not 42 people, but they were playing
42. 42 is a game.
Right.
A Texas National game. Okay. But anyway, and I had an artist, Eric Luplow, painting us. He was sitting on a carton of beer.
He always opens up a beer box like that.
Yeah.
And starts painting.
So he made a painting during the
during our set.
While these guys are all playing dominoes on stage. Yeah. And
we had
people see that on Facebook or something?
Probably.
Do you guys have a Facebook page?
Yeah.
We have Facebook.
Yeah. I think
so. And there's a song on the album, this new album that I wrote last year at Kerrville on the break in between the two songs. They were out talking and raising money for a friend who had medical bills, and I went off on the side and sang it into my phone. Trouble. Yeah.
Trouble? You wrote that then? I never knew that.
The one guy from the Subdued Festival.
Musically, the best song on our new album.
Yeah, he saw it.
Musically, it is.
Really?
It's incredible. And she wrote it with her husband, Andy.
Yeah.
And I had to learn his part. And
Sarah, you're always going, huh?
I am.
Oh, she is.
I don't know. I mean, they are too, if you think about it. Like, when I first reached out to Slim and Francie just to say, like, if y'all ever need a sub, I used to sing jazz, and I have these babies, and I don't get to play all the time, and I miss singing all the time. And the reason I reached out to them was just being on their email list and thinking, man, these people don't stop. They play 5 nights a week somewhere. And the truth is, if they're not playing, they're jamming with somebody. I think of Slim like a shark. Like, if he stops, he'll die.
Yeah.
When
I went to England for 2 weeks, he had like internal bleeding. And my husband said, you got to get back. Do some shows.
You know what? I will say, I'm really glad you're okay, because one morning, sometimes I wake up at weird hours and I just like watch the news. I don't know why I do. It's just a cycle and it's really stupid.
It is.
I think
you're okay.
Oh, after thanks.
I'm glad that you were okay after that.
Look at the scar.
He's got a real cute little
scar. She said something pretty clever about my recovery from the car accident that I had. She said, well, someone said, is he back 100%? She said, he never was 100%.
In the first place. God, yeah. That was like the scariest night of my life.
I remember seeing you on
the
news. Yeah.
You know, but the first thing, it was so cute, because when he came home, the first thing he did, he walked in, he had his robe still on, and he, you know, that little bitty guitar, he picked up his little bitty guitar and played like two
his
measures.
Little Johnson.
Yeah, his little. He started playing with his little Johnson.
That he has to whip out if he and, breaks the string.
And he, you know, he played, you know, the head or two measures or something of something, and he put it down. He says, I just wanted to make sure I could still play. I mean, he only missed two gigs.
After he got run
after he got
by
run
a Cadillac Escalade
fucking over.
Did they ever find the guy?
No.
They didn't try hard enough at all.
The first gig that we had was a 4-hour gig, and I wouldn't have played it, except she wouldn't let me play the gig we had the next week in Dallas, because she said I couldn't play it that long. It was just an hour gig. So
but
I played
he fell
this
off the stage at that gig.
Yes.
She was upstairs in the green room.
I was upstairs.
First thing I did is fall off the stage.
Well, I don't want you to get upset, but he fell off the stage. But he's okay.
I had a brain concussion, and my balance was really bad.
Yeah.
So I knew I was falling.
We were selling these, like, Slim Richie takes a licking and keeps on picking t-shirts, and he fell off the stage. I was like, hey, man, we're going to sell a lot of shirts.
See?
I had lunch with a manager from an L.A. amoeba.
Really?
Yeah. Right? Wow. Yeah.
What?
Music. Last week.
An amazing store.
Oh, okay.
Amazing music store, record store.
Amoeba.
Berkeley.
Not the Berkeley that we went.
Are you guys, are you going to put your record out on vinyl?
I keep getting asked that. I don't know. I mean, it's hard to throw down. We've already just, like, we just did the math and figured out that we, you know.
The math is horrible.
Yeah.
What do you think we should do?
It's cool. That's the thing.
Everybody's like,
let me tell you something. I had a guy in here, the guy from Dumb. That band's album was put out by a label that puts out records on cassette.
We would love
to
have a label.
No, little bitty cassette.
Wouldn't it be cool if like an actual label wanted to help us with this album?
Oh,
but
wouldn't
do
that
you
be
think?
Cool?
Oh, I would. There's more than one that want to, but I don't want to go.
What can they do that you? I mean, you're kind of this heroic person too.
Good question.
With you know, what are they going to do that you can't do?
I make money because I license songs and get them used in film and TV, but I've never sold a lot of records, you know, and we can keep selling.
I don't want to freak you out, but nobody sells a lot of records anymore.
Nobody. As far as raising our profile, like, I want us to be more well-known.
That's part of the whole world domination.
World domination.
Yeah, we have a lot of fun in Austin, and we have our fans, but for me personally, every great thing of recognition that has happened to me has not come from Austin. Like, it always comes from outside of Austin.
Right. And
so my vision with this is that there's some people who might get that, like, we're legitimately play great music. You know, like, that Slim's an incredible guitar player. That we're
unbelievable.
A cool, different band, you know, and maybe some jazz critics will get that, like, in a way that Austin's never going to get. You know, we're never going to...
Austin's not a jazz town, man.
But it's not just, well, I mean, just from music for the sake of music, my goal has to do more with outside of Austin. And that's why when I think about
You're always thinking that way.
A label that might actually, you know, promote.
I think you guys could do it. I think you guys could get a publicist, maybe.
Oh,
and just
yeah,
work with the publicist, do yourself.
That's a big decision, you know. Yeah. Like, you could, there's one
we need
person
a handler.
Who gets us that we could... you know, use on a sort of a local level, but if there was somebody who really gets us, like that was more of a national publicist, I think we would invest in that in a heartbeat.
Yeah, there's no reason why you guys shouldn't be everywhere.
And what we do is so unique. I mean, we talk about jazz and that genre, but, you know...
It's not just jazz.
Masumi and I don't even think of it as jazz. It's like...
1930s
psychedelic rock.
Rock. Well, that's what it is.
And that's what
right?
it is. Yeah. You know, we play the stuff we play when it was fresh in the 30s and 40s and whenever, you know, that was rock.
Yeah.
In their day. That wasn't jazz.
Well, they were certainly
rebels. That was rock.
Yeah.
And we certainly add our own rock to it because, you know, that's what we do.
Mr. Dangerous and his Heidi Heidi Hoes.
And his Heidi Heidi Ho.
How many nicknames do you guys have for each other? A lot of them.
Well, bitch. Masumi is Taco or Taco Bitch.
Taco Bitch.
T-A-K-O is Japanese for octopus because you think of her like.
Yeah.
Oh, that's good.
Oh, God, she's incredible.
Swinging. Yeah.
Sorry.
I just thought you guys were trying to be racist and miss the mark.
No.
Oh, she's not Mexican?
No. we obliterate every race.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, we don't care.
She is not even human.
I'm
here.
From.
She's not even a race. She's an alien.
Yeah, I'm not even a race.
And you have twin kids?
Yeah.
They're in their 30s?
They were, but when they were little, they played fiddle. And they would make more money than me. And, you know, we called them Elvis's two-headed love child. You know, somebody, a friend of ours, coined that term. And so it's kind of, what other kind of offspring would I have except some kind of alien?
They're awesome.
Yeah, they are awesome.
Yeah. What got you playing bass?
Acid.
Really?
Really, I swear to God.
Somehow,
can you tell the whole story?
I used to have. When I first saw you play, I had this idea in my mind that you were just a freak, and you have actually surpassed my own expectations.
What a freak she is! Can I tell the story that I know?
Tell me story.
Francie had never played any instrument.
Anything.
Francie had never played a single instrument until she was with Slim. And how old were you when he first put a bass in your hand?
Well, it was the day after our legal marriage, and that was the second one.
So the day after their second wedding.
89. So, 89. So I was, 37, right?
Okay.
37?
Who knows?
30.
I was there, but I forgot.
You don't
even
come.
37.
Aging.
Okay.
So she had never played an instrument. This was their second wedding. And the way Francie told me is that they were on acid. And
the day after.
The day after
we
acid,
got married.
Or the day after getting
married.
And Slim put a bass in her hands and left her alone in a room, and she said the walls sang.
And I said, this is what I want to do.
I want to make the walls sing.
I want to do this. This is what I want to do. And so, there you go. I'm serious.
I
told that to a record executive when he was here for South by one time. Well, I was kind of chauffeuring him from one gig to another, and we were talking, and he just looked at me, and he says, how did you get into this? And I told him that same story. And he just looked and he says, I don't doubt that at all.
No.
It was like, okay.
I love that.
Yeah. Well, see, you can change.
You can.
Yeah,
I like to hear positive acid stories too. I don't like to hear the stories of, you know, no one ever tells, you know, there's a Bill Hicks bit about it. He likes to hear. No one talks about the good times on drugs.
Mm-hmm.
When they're trying to teach you a lesson.
I've had nothing but good times.
I can imagine.
Remember any bad.
Yeah, well, one day no, she'd say.
There was one time I couldn't get out of the tent. That was probably the worst.
I can imagine.
She almost puked on the stage. Some.
No, she did.
No, puke no, on stage no, no, no,
yeah, yeah,
no,
yeah.
No.
No, she didn't, but
no.
She got
no,
a.
She did throw
no,
up on
she
stage.
Did.
Yeah.
In a from in being a drunk. Tip jar?
I did. Somebody?
You threw up in the tip jar.
Tip jar. Yeah, she was holding our big bucket for tip. We had
a
lot
of
bucket. It
was
flamingo. Yeah. Yes. Holding tip jar.
And I was getting hurled, and I just looked down and I just grabbed that
but
sucker.
She had like some of her cables and like a pedal in there. And, and somebody had given her some new different weed, and it was like.
Death weed.
Death
we
weed.
We call death,
death
weed.
Death
weed. Don't try one.
Death
you
weed.
Let me ask you a question. No. If you know about this stuff, is the weed different now than it was from back in the time?
Yeah.
Of Woodstock?
Yeah.
I mean, just think about it. Back then, we paid anywhere from $5 to $10 for a lid.
A lid. That's always my favorite.
Yeah.
All my aunts always
and
say that. As soon as they talk about weed,
know,
it's always a lid.
That's in my Viper dictionary, what a lid is.
What is it?
That much?
An ounce. An ounce.
Oh, God.
When I was in Oklahoma.
I have a story about lids.
I do, too. But I was talking about it.
You were talking first.
Tell me, tell me the lid definition. And then we'll get your lid story.
There used to be this very popular tobacco called Prince Albert Tobacco.
Uh-huh.
And it came in a little can that's shaped like maybe like a...
Shoe polish.
No, definitely not.
You don't polish
shaped like
shoes.
A little drink can.
You don't even have
right.
Shoes.
But if you fill that up with marijuana to the lid...
Okay.
It was actually an ounce.
Okay.
Roughly.
Yeah.
And that was called a lid, and that sold for $5. And they actually sold it in cans, too. So people take these Prince Albert tobacco cans around.
And that's a lid.
That was
that's
a lid.
Yeah.
That's where it came from.
Now I know. Thank you. I'm going to tell my aunts, because they could never tell me that. They don't know.
Tell them to get my Viper dictionary.
I will.
And it's called pot, because they would carry it around... In a little pot, and water it, you know, on their stops.
Yeah,
Martin Banks told me that story.
He
said they had pot plants, and they had these kind of.
I know, sorry.
Their vans were kind of like stretch vans, but they would go in these touring cars, black vans, and they had these little pot plants.
Bye, Masumi.
Of marijuana.
Bye, Masumi. You're leaving.
She has a job.
Bye.
She has a real job.
She's got to go play.
I love you, bitch.
Bye, bitch.
I love you, Miss Sumi.
Love you.
See you soon.
Love you, bitch. Bye.
So much for that. But anyway, they would carry their pot in a pot plant and stop at the filling station and water it. Filling station would say, well, what is that? Oh, it's a flower. Well, it doesn't have any flowers. Oh, it hadn't bloomed yet, you know.
Right,
just,
yeah.
But that's why they grew their pot, was in little pot plants in their touring cars.
Wow.
Nobody knew what it was because at that time, nobody even knew what it was. I mean, it hadn't been marginalized.
Right. Are you guys fans of the decriminalization and legalization and all that stuff happening?
Of course.
I mean, even her.
Even
yeah,
you.
Yeah, I don't smoke weed at all. I'm terrible
really?
At it. Terrible at it.
But she got a secondhand high.
Yeah.
I could see that.
But I totally think it should be legalized. I think it's ridiculous.
Yeah, it's silly.
And that it should just be taxed and, you know, everybody...
Taxed.
Like, have it as a reason.
Oh, no. Not taxed.
No.
That's terrible.
Just something. Just
well, that's
the only way to get it.
To get the
that's
incentive,
a compromise. Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And, we had this... Masumi and I, we did this tour with them last October in Oregon, and we were staying with some of their... friends, and they were gonna stick us in a tent, and it was 42 degrees. They were
Jesus.
Just gonna stick.
Freezing.
They were just gonna put Masumi and me in a tent for the night, and we couldn't tell whether they were kidding, but it turns out they weren't. And it's like the Oregon coast, and they're sitting around with this volcano thing. You know
yeah, 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 yeah. I know that.
And so we're in the room with them in this volcano thing, and these old friends of theirs, and at some point, it occurred to somebody, you know, there's room on the floor. They could actually sleep in the house in their sleeping bags. I'm assuming I'm like, yee. Yeah. So
we go to our little spot on the floor and everybody goes to sleep. And Miss Sylvie was like, I am so fucking sick of stoners. she's like, are you serious?
Oh my God.
She said, are you seriously? God. It's so fuck. We got to.
We started laughing
and then we laughed and we laughed and we couldn't stop laughing and like my stomach hurt and I'm drooling and we're rolling around on the ground and I was like, Masumi, do you think we're hot? It turns out just being in the room with their volcano, we kept them up. Like we ended up keeping everybody up because we couldn't stop.
And she played so washboard. I hear she played, they were jamming. And I hear she played washboard.
Masumi's favorite expression for me is, are you seriously?
Are you seriously?
She said that all the time. Are you seriously?
So she went to Berklee School?
Yeah. She and I were there at the same time? A little bit, but we
didn't. Oh, yeah, that's right, you went.
We didn't know each other. We have a lot of friends from the same time, but we didn't know each other when we were there.
Did we talk about, do you know Leffler, the Leffler? No?
I don't know. Okay. I know that name.
You know that name?
I think so. Yeah.
He used to live here. We were in a band together for a while.
Well, now I feel like I'm going to be embarrassed if I realize that I do know him afterwards.
Maybe Masumi knows him, and it's cosmic because she's going to move in too.
Yeah. She's going to move in here. Mm-hmm. I like that you guys have a good imitation of her.
Oh, God.
She's the best. You've got to read her. The tweets, those are the best.
I will. So let's go over this real fast for people that are listening because this is, this is really, it's been normal, right?
It's too much, huh?
No, it's not too much.
It's just normal.
I just feel like I'm just laughing the whole time. I'm like, am I conducting an interview here?
I know we do that.
No, I love it. I love the case. You know, I think that the people that listen to this show will appreciate it. They'll enjoy hearing the chaos.
Well, if they come see us live, they definitely, I mean, like if we're playing at Elephant or Continental, this is
One World.
Yeah. One World Theater.
But this is how much fun we have.
Good.
You know.
Well, that's a beautiful thing. What's the name of your album?
Phoebe's Dream.
Which is?
Well, we have this song and it's about
pot.
It's the first song on the album. I wrote it with Chris Wade and it's about a girl who thought she could keep smoking and get almost like a Jacob's Ladder thing, like tried to get to heaven by getting higher and higher. But
we try. We do our best. And she did too, you know.
Yeah.
But she, is that the snake one? Is
no,
that the one?
She can tell it.
Okay, go.
Okay.
It's the first song on the album. And we actually, we decided, we knew it was about a girl, and we had to pick a name because it starts with, did you ever hear the story of dear Phoebe? And it's like a cappella at the beginning.
Okay.
And we just had to pick a name, and so Phoebe Hunt is our good friend. She showed up the night we were going to try it for the first time at Lambert's, and so we named it after Phoebe.
Oh, nice.
And it's kind of appropriate because she's definitely a viper.
Yeah.
I'm going to use that word. You should write a song with her. Stuff. She's such a good songwriter.
She is?
Yeah.
Yes, sweetheart. I think I better go, too. My kids have been... Yes, that's a good idea.
Hello, watch special guest.
Oh, watch his fingers.
Watch
get
his fingers,
fingers out of the
watch
door.
Watch his fingers. Watch his fingers.
Good, thank you. Oh, my
good
God.
Good job.
Freaks me out. I slammed my fingers in a door of a cab month ago. A little over a month ago. It was horrible.
Oh, ow.
I know. Well, it's okay. So May 4th, Saturday, May 4th.
May
if you're in Austin, Texas, go to the One World
go.
Theater. May the 4th be with you. Mm-hmm. What time is this show going to go down?
8 o'clock.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I have that night off. I'm really excited. I want to
go.
I'm excited.
Come.
You don't even have to. I feel guilty for doing that.
No. We'll.
Okay, I don't feel that guilty.
We're not sold out. We can definitely put you on the list.
People can get tickets in advance through the One World Theater. Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. How do people find you guys? Just JitterbugVipers. If they Google it, it'll be there.
And Twitter.
And what's your Twitter handle?
JitterbugVipers.
Okay. Mm-hmm. At JitterbugVipers. Mm-hmm. Is there anything else we need to do? We need to talk about?
No.
Well,
Well, I'm gonna go.
Yeah, but
you know, when we do Vipers at noon, we have this segment. That
I
is
saw the Beatles
called Mojo Time, so we could do Mojo Time now if you want. But I gotta go.
Okay, Mojo Time.
Ah, no,
love you guys.
No. Bye, Sarah. Bye.
I was just kidding.
Oh. Well, people should go there and check it out. They can find the show, Masumi's show.
Yeah, it's
Lunch with Masumi.
Yeah. Lunchwithmasumi.com. And Sarah Sharp writes songs for perfume commercials.
Yeah.
And they're beautiful.
Yeah.
And all that other stuff. And I just play bass.
We got our show is Vipers at Noon.
Okay.
Anything can be Googled.
Yeah.
Because we have Facebook, so we put a lot of stuff on, videos. We have a huge YouTube presence. We have at least 50 videos on YouTube.
Oh, awesome.
Yeah, have concerts and stuff.
Yeah.
Like every time we go to Dallas, the Kessler will film us and the Kessler Theater, and our friends will film us from a different angle too.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah. Yeah, so a lot, you know, and like out at Old Settlers, we had some people filming us. That was a different band, but still, we get filmed a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I could see why you guys are cool with that.
It's weird.
Yeah.
Yeah. We did got a video of Phoebe's Dream that we did at Old Settlers, and right after we did it, she broke her wrist and couldn't play for 5 weeks.
Oh, no.
5 months.
5 months?
Eight. 5 months.
8 months.
Oh.
8 months.
Yeah.
Do you know Kathy Valentine?
Yes, I do.
That happened to her.
Oh, man. When?
And then she broke her foot. No. Oh, man. She broke her wrist and then she broke her foot.
Well, I broke my arm when we went to Italy, right before we went to Italy with Sarah a couple of years ago.
2 days before we got on the plane, she broke her arm.
It was awful. Yeah.
She got to sell merchandise.
I was the merch girl.
That's good.
You know, but we had, you know, I tend to do that. And so Sarah is like, every time I go out to a festival, it's like, don't you dare break anything or I'm going to be really pissed, you know? It's like, I'm not. I'll do my best. I'll wrap myself in bubble wrap, you know?
That's a good way to go.
Yeah.
I think that's what I should do tonight.
It would be kind of weird, wouldn't it?
Yeah, it would be weird.
Well, thank you very much.
Thank you for coming. Thank you both for coming. I'm glad that we were able to do this, and I'm glad I finally got to meet you guys.
Yeah. That was really fun.
Now I won't be so creepy when I come up after shows and tell you you're awesome.
It was fun for me.
Good, Slim.
Thank you.
I'm glad you guys were here. Thank you. All right. I hope that brought you guys some levity and some solace during this time. It was nice to hear Slim talking and being with his Heidi Hoes, having a good time and excited about their new album, Phoebe's Dream, which is amazing. Don't forget, you can go to our Facebook page or look on the Podbean page for a link to the GoFundMe site and page that is set up for Francie and Slim's family. Please go there and donate what you can. This is a difficult time. Having to deal with these finances and overcome that stuff as well is incredibly difficult when you're mourning the loss of someone you married 15 times, you know? Okay, thank you so much for listening. My heart goes out to his family, to Francie, to Masumi, to Sarah, to all of the music community here in Austin. We've lost a great treasure, all right? Slim will live on forever in his music and in our hearts. So let's go out listening to a song that was written about Slim by Sarah Sharp and Katie Holmes. It's on their Phoebe's Dream album. It's called Dangerous. It describes the style of guitar playing that that Slim was known for, all right? So love to Francie, love to the friends, love to the family, and love you, Slim. Here's Dangerous.
He comes from eternal Camp Packer Wood, never leaves home without the goods, always carrying a bag of tricks, from mushroom soup to tortoiseshell pigs, and watching his hands to try and understand is like trying to catch the water from the fall. He's dangerous, so dangerous, Everybody knows when he gets to town. He's dangerous, the most dangerous. He takes a licking and keeps on picking. Boy, he gets around. When the moon is full and the coyotes howl, the ridge runner is on the prowl. The world looks small from up so high, feet so steady while the fingers fly. Father Time and Narrows come for the advice of the man who's married his love 14 times. He's dangerous, the most dangerous. Everybody knows when he's coming to town. He's so dangerous, the most dangerous. He takes a licking and keeps on picking. You'll never get him. Most dangerous. He takes a licking and keeps.